This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Progressive is America's number one motorcycle insurer, so we understand motorcycles. No, really, we have a bike translator.
Okay, so this bike says she is struggling with her place in the motorcycle community. Well, she says she hasn't peaked yet, but she's having a little epiphany, okay. Oh, that maybe life itself is the peak. Interesting. In my experience, I found that... Oh, so I just translate. Not allowed to have opinions. Got it.
Quote with Progressive and see if you could save with America's number one motorcycle insurer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hi, good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of That Millwall Podcast. And I am thankfully joined by my partner in crime, my co-host, even the one and only, the super duper, Omar. Welcome back, fella. It's been a while.
Hello, Gaze. Not bad. You all right?
Yeah, I'm all good, mate. I'm all good.
Been a little while.
Yeah, it has been a little while. We've done two last week. Obviously, I've done one with Phil Clark. Don't worry, your job's safe on the accounts. And we did that Twitter space. What was good? We were going to do another Twitter space last night, but to be fair, where there was no football Saturday, it just seemed as if was it going to work or not. But we've got a couple of things planned for Twitter spaces, so watch out. Possibly over the long period we got over Christmas or whatever, just to create some interaction. But we'll definitely get there. We've got no game really to talk about today. But what we're going to do is we'll
have a crack onto the conversation that we're just doing now, mate. Let's just go into it. It's off the cuff a little bit. What do you want to? Let's hit record. Let's just start talking now.
I think. Well, we before we started recording, we were talking about the COVID. All this bullshit with COVID. To be fair, I'm pissed off with COVID. Every fucking news bulletin, every bit of news, everything else. Everyone seems to be an expert. Everyone seems to be talking about COVID. It fucking does my head in to a degree. COVID passports, vaccines. Look, if you want to be vaccinated, go get vaccinated. If you don't want to be vaccinated, don't go get vaccinated. If you want to wear masks, wear masks. If you don't want to wear masks, don't wear masks. I wear masks in a public area because, do you know what I mean? As a human population, most of us are fucking stinky fuckers, mate, and there are a lot of skanky people out there, and I'd rather not have to breathe in other people's fucking shit. But, I wear an half-decent mask and all of that, so yeah, fine. But I'm vaccinated. I've got a booster tomorrow, so... I come from it from that side. But if you're not boosted or you're not vaccinated or anything else, that's your choice. It's not mine. That's your choice. And we live in a free society where, thankfully, people gave up their lives many, many years ago so that you can have that choice. I don't really give a fuck about whether or not Boris had a tea party or he didn't have a tea party or anything else. But we were talking about the EFL statement coming out today. I think it's a PR trick just to basically cover their arse so that if worst case scenario, a lockdown does come in, and there was rumour that it was the 5th of Jan, there's now seems to be more gaining traction that it's Monday the 27th of December, because I don't think they've got the balls to bring it in before Christmas. It's got their let out where they can go, look, nothing to do with us. Unfortunately, government forced it on us. We're happy to keep going. We put the statement out saying we were happy to keep going, but government guidelines has forced us down a difficult, you know, path. You think I'm being a bit cynical there?
I think worst case scenario, it's probably going to be some games behind closed doors and probably that one game that we want against Crystal Palace at the Den. Probably going to come our way, I think, mate. I mean, I hate talking about COVID anyway on this podcast because we just talk about it all, really. It's our escapism in football, but it's relevant to the football at the moment, isn't it? Obviously, you know, our game was called off on the weekend. Figures, apparently, we're in the double figures for COVID cases amongst players and staff. So, you know, it's thrive at the moment, and obviously it's around, and we all know that. And apparently a lot of the players, the symptoms, thankfully, aren't that really severe, as we know about the new variant. But, yeah, it's I think it's just a shame, really, that obviously, you know, you get to the Christmas time and Boxing Day game and obviously FA Cup third round, it potentially can have an impact on, you know, us enjoying it as fans. And that's really kind of the humdinger about it, really, because, you know, we all want to go to Palace at home, don't we, early weeks in January to cheer us on.
It's going to hurt Millwall. It's going to hurt, you know, Palace, I suppose, as well, with a bit of money there if clubs went, you know, would it go behind closed doors? I don't know. Potentially, it probably would. The TV revenue would still be there as such. But, you know, I don't think there's anything better than a Den full of, especially when it's a, you know, a derby with South London's finest Muppets.
Your TikToks have been blowing up, mate, haven't they? You've been putting
If you're a Millwall fan and you're on TikTok, you're not too old. Look, you know, I know I'm old, but TikTok's funny, mate. For the football banter, what we're bringing to TikTok at the minute, mate, is highly amusing.
Good nibbles, though, isn't it? It's all in good taste, isn't it?
We're not taking it serious. Listen, it's a good way to introduce the show, us to more people through football banter. But some of the numbers, what videos are getting on there are you know, mind-boggling, really. But it's just a laugh, and it's a cracking laugh, to be fair, because West Ham, Tottenham, Arsenal, they're all triggering each other, mate, and it's highly amusing. so much so that I posted a video to say, you know, that I don't really give a fuck what you think. It's a laugh. It's a giggle. And that's all it is. Life's too serious at the minute, mate. And you've got to have some get outs, because if you didn't, I think we'd be lining up like lemons and jumping off cliffs and stuff. Life is just far, far too serious. Like you said a minute ago, mate, football and talking Millwall is our get out. You know, it could be a lot worse, I suppose, but yeah, it is.
It's just an escapism. That's what it is to us, and that's why we started this podcast, really. And it's, you know, we enjoy going to our games, don't we, as well? You know what I mean? So that's what it's about, really. Saturdays are football days, and Sundays are podcast days now, which is, you know, you can't beat it and you can't knock it. And I think, obviously, it's just a shame, really, that if we do have to go into another circuit break or lockdown of such, then obviously impacts us going to the Den again. But I hope if it's something that happens like that again, then, you know, as much as I'm against it, and you've got, I guess, like we said, you know, you're for or against, doesn't really matter. It's just got to buy to it, and hopefully it sorts things out. I think from a club point of view, obviously the club will be devastated, like we said, but I'm interested, you know, you saying about a lot, like a kind of shutting it down. I think maybe if there was a 2-game break, maybe, because obviously a lot of clubs, what are happening at the moment is they're getting cases daily at the moment. I think, you know, a few in the Premier League have said that. I think Liverpool, Chelsea have kind of come out about it on the weekends. And I think the same for Raut, really. He said in the interview with News at Den, you know, like cases were daily, and like you can't really afford to have a break, because if you're training every day, you need to, you know, get ready for games as such. And obviously they come thick and fast this time of year, but you can't afford a couple of days off because it puts you back in your preparation, doesn't it?
No, and I think a lot of the time is that there's so many people what are asymptomatic, where, is that the right word? Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was speaking to my stepdad today, just checking, obviously, the cards and that we sent up, he'd got and all that, and checking about Christmas and all this sort of stuff. And he was saying that his boss got tested today because he's going to go visit one of his elderly relatives in a care home. Got no symptoms, doesn't feel rough, doesn't feel anything. Done a test and it's come back positive. So now he's got to isolate for 10 days. Yet he didn't know. He's been around people. He's been around here, there, everywhere else. And you're thinking, you know, realistically, you put those numbers out, there's probably a high number of people what are out there doing that, not knowing, you know, don't need to take a test because they're not showing. And it's just passing around and it is what it is. But it's, I think we just got to live with it now. Do you know what I mean? It's, you know, it's one of those things that we live with, like flu, like, you know, colds, like this, that, everything else. If you get it, you get it. I had it a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, it's banding, knocks you fucking sideways for a bit. I still feel knackered to a degree now, but I think that's probably because I'm a fat, lazy cunt. But
you said it. Other people were thinking it. I'm not going to say that, but
look, it is what it is. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You've got to take on board. I'm not the most healthiest person in the world. I've got to, you know, we were talking about that we're going to look at possibly going on a bit of a fitness drive for next year. And you know what? I need it. I'm 46 years old. I'm not getting any younger. And this fat's going to stay around if I don't really do anything for it. So I think everything about you, you just need to be healthy. You need to, you know, look after yourself, get on board. And that's it. And I think the trouble is with football that it's going to hit them harder through. You're going to see some big changes because if you've got quite a few of your key team going down, it's not a week and then they're better, which the player might be, but it's a week or 2 weeks that they miss out on training, that then they've got to catch up, then they've got to get their match fitness back up. So potentially you're looking, it could be a month, 6 weeks before that player's back to the levels where he has. And you fold that out across,
I think players actually will, teams. Whilst players wouldn't want COVID, I think at the same time, to have 10 days off over Christmas probably does a lot of them the world of good, to be honest. Especially, yeah, like you said, a lot of people are not really showing symptoms as such. And obviously, these are fit, sporting people. Yeah. You look at Spurs on the weekend, obviously, they had a two-week break because their training ground was shut, games got postponed. I was expecting them to be all over the place against Liverpool. And I think the first 5 minutes, I was thinking, okay, Liverpool are going to probably comfortably beat this team today. But Spurs probably could have won on Sunday. And you can see Liverpool were tired. Obviously, they had a few COVID cases themselves. But I think from a sporting point of view, they had 2 weeks off where Liverpool played Saturday, Tuesday, trips to Milan, you know, trips up and down the country. And you can see the difference in the two sides, in my opinion. So I think maybe there was a case of actually having 2 weeks off probably benefited the club. I'm kind of not against the idea of having a game break. I think a lot of them are saying have the Boxing Day fixtures, but a fixture in between the new year and Christmas, maybe get rid of that one. And I think obviously that's probably something I guess a lot of clubs we've tried to push for, but it got shut down today, didn't it? Everything's business as usual, as they were saying. So I think I kind of see your cynicism point there of like, that's them
it's
saying
it's a PR trick, isn't it?
It's not. I mean, it's like, if the government tells us to do it, they're going to do it. You know, it's not up to us really.
But it's like,
I do get your point.
Yeah, but it's like what Millwall does, isn't it? Before any big game, you know, like guaranteed before Palace, the Friday or the Wednesday or Friday before the Palace game, there'd be one day that week, right? So we're widening up. There'd be something in the paper. There'd be something in the newsletter. What Six Series says, let's enjoy this derby, blah, blah, blah. Let's not overstep the line and let the rivalry get the better of us or something, you know, basically telling us to behave ourselves and all that. It always comes out so that if it all goes off, the club can sit there in front of the FA, the EFL and say, look, what more do you want us to do? We told them not to, you know, not to go on it. What more do you want? And it's always get outs. And I think with PR, it's always, you know, predicting what's coming before it comes. And if football was to stop tomorrow, if the government come out tomorrow or you know, Christmas Eve or whatever and say, right, we're coming into a lockdown, we're stopping all football, people will be going, well, why is the EFL not doing nothing? Why is the FA not doing nothing? Why are they not doing it? Well, these people are already lobbying. Guaranteed these people are already lobbying. I mean, they're already lobbying about, you know, the new football-led review that they don't want it in its current format. They want to change it. So these people, you're talking powerful, you know, rich company, which is basically lobbying government to try and lever their advantage in. They've always got a head up, mate, that something's coming. And the only way that they're going to be able to filter that is by saying, listen, I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that I'm just over cynical and, you know, I'm an old cunt. We'll wait and see where it goes. I am an old cunt. Yeah, compared to you, I am an old cunt. But you know what? Someone has to bring the good looks to this show. So, you know.
Do you know what the funny thing is? Like, whenever we hang out, like, occasionally we get that one person going, like, obviously, a lot of people that know me, and obviously, they know you're not anywhere related to me. But you often get, sometimes you get the occasional person going.
You're going to do it, aren't you? You're going to go that way, aren't you? Yeah. When we went to Peterborough, we got it a couple of times, didn't we? Like, oh, so you're his dad then, and you're like, and.
Yeah, and we got it when we went on the tour as well, didn't we? I mean, there is a bit of an age gap between the two of us, mate, but, you know, so be it. It's one of those things.
But realistically, I am potentially old enough and there is enough age group there for me to be your dad.
Crazy, right?
Proper. Do you know what I mean? Proper. Fuck me, if you were a bird, we'd be getting arrested by now. But no, it is. It is crazy. I mean, football at the moment just seems all
madness. Talk about Peterborough? So not about the game, but less for the day more so. Did you enjoy yourself Peterborough away? Obviously,
Peterborough was
first away for a little while
this season. Was it this season?
Yeah, it was this season. Couple of years, we said to you. It was like, obviously,
because of COVID and all that, you don't realise, do you, with COVID, how much it knocked it all out. And then you think, shit, yeah, it was. With COVID and obviously behind doors and coming back this season proper, you were like, oh, fuck, yeah. So, yeah, it's a good away days are always better than home days because everyone's friendlier. Everyone, you know, you see loads of people you ain't seen for ages. Hi, Harry. You know, people who hate you and people who block you, and then they're forced to you know, have to smile and say hello to you.
There. Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, they can't stand you. They really do dislike you. But they, you know, in a situation where you and them are there, they have to say hello. And, you know, it is what it is. I'm always polite. I'll say hello. But, you know, I've got used to it over the years, mate. People fucking either love me or hate me. And, I don't care.
It was a good day, though, wasn't it? I was impressed that we managed to get on a 10 o'clock train from London Bridge though, to Peterborough. I thought it would have been a bit later from you. But, you know, you was up and keen, obviously. It was good.
I was there, mate. I was there early. I was fucking ready to go, mate.
I was hanging a bit out of my backside, but, you know, we got there in the end. Air the dog, mate, took me through it.
Yeah, I mean, it was good though, wasn't it? We were up there on the 10 o'clock, we were up there early. Yeah. And then the first fella I saw, I ain't seen for years, Big Rich. And I went, what time did you get up here then? And he went, oh, we got up here about 9:30.
There you go, mate.
And he went, he said, our train home don't leave till 10:30. And you're like, Jesus Christ. I think the whole day was good. The pub was great. You know, there was no real grief. I think after the game was funny. I mean, during the game was funny, obviously. Some of the chants and all that, what we sort of spoke about. You know, the beer and everything else in there was shuddy. But, you know, the stadium's all right. It is what it is. At least, we didn't get wet.
It's functional. But it's a good footballing ground, I think. It would have been nice if it was still the terrace behind the goal, because obviously we're behind the goal this time. And if it was still like a terrace sort of feel, I think it would have been quite good, especially if we went 1-0 up. But there you go. I think it was obviously a good following from us as well. And obviously, we're trying to talk about the game, which is disappointing to lose. But yeah, I think in general, Peterborough is a nice little town to go to for an away day, I think.
I thought it was funny afterwards when we were that news agent or that off-licence. And the poor fucker in the off-licence, you come out and you went, he was shaking. I mean, he had a doorman on who didn't look as if he'd be able to do anything. But the funniest bit there was you were inside and there was some geezers outside. So, should we just say some proper geezers who, you know, were game if needed be. And these four youngsters must have been 18, 19, maybe 17, 18, 19, 20, that sort of era. And they walked past. And as they've walked past, they've mentioned shit, as in like, oh, you lot of fucking, you know, Millwall fucking shit. Same as what we were when we were walking down the road. You know, most of the fans walking down were all sitting there going, oh, Millwall shit, fucking what a shit performance today and all that. Anyway, they've walked past this off licence. You're in there getting a couple of tinnies. And they've walked past this group of lads and they've gone, oh, it's fucking shit, isn't it, blah, blah, blah. And these lads are picked up on fucking Millwall being called shit. So they've spun on the spot and basically put it on these four lads. And these four lads' arses suddenly went, mate. They were fucking twitching like a motherfucker. It was like, do you know what I mean? The old stuttering game come out and everything else. And they're going, who are you calling shit, son? Who are you calling fucking shit? Like, And this went on for a couple of minutes. And then all of a sudden, these kids suddenly went, no, we're Millwall, and sort of proved their credibility as such. And they went, oh, that's all right. Literally, it went from, who the fuck are you calling shit, you cunt? Come on, fucking give it like this. To, oh, you're Millwall. Oh, that's all right. You can call us shit. No worries, fellas. Off you go. And that was it. And these lads must have fucking thought, oh, shit. We're in trouble here. What have you done? And then all of a sudden, within a split second, it was like, but they're the away day, set. Do you know what I mean?
So you've got the swarm of people going to the shop. And obviously, the shopkeeper, I told you, mate, he's like this shaking. And I was giving him a ready. He's just like, here's your change. And it's like, oh, mate, it's all right. Don't worry. I mean, you might probably have half the shop stolen for all we know. It's fine. But, you know, it's don't worry. It's going to be all right. And then, do you know what it is, though? The angle that you say there when someone goes, what did you just say? As in, it's that little spell where you leave the ground and you've not had a beer. You've lost the game. You're in that in-between stage where your last beer was at halftime. You're walking back from the stadium. You're either going to the pub or you're going to get some booze, some cans for the train home. That little spell there where you're still angry. Once you have the first sip of your drink, the anger's there, but it then turns into vents. And obviously then, like, you've got that train journey home where you're all venting on the way back. You've got an hour standing on the train fucking packed like sardines. Let's not talk about who was wearing masks or whatever. But then, like, you know, you've got that kind of environment where, like, you know, once everyone's had a drink, you somber down and you kind of come to terms with the defeat. But you've got a little spell between where it's like anything goes. If anyone says anything, then it's like the outrage is like...
It was mad, like, though, wasn't it? Because on the train home, everyone kept looking, you know, people were looking at their watch game. We're going to be getting in with Leeds today. We're going to be getting in with Leeds today. We're going to be King's getting Cross. In. And as we pulled into King's Cross, we were met by the Metropolitan's finest in full riot fucking outfits, hats and everything.
Of course.
And then all of a sudden, we're walking up to the gates and we're thinking, shit, and there must have been 1,000, 1,500 of us got on that train, which Fair wasn't few. Our train because they cancelled our train. So it was like, first train, everyone on it. And we're like, right, okay. And then we pull into King's Cross and we're walking up towards the barrier and the gates are all shut. And we're thinking, oh shit, what's going to go on here?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, literally, flick of the switch, gates went open, and then there was a massive line of old Bill, obviously, where they...
Progressive is America's number one motorcycle insurer, so we understand motorcycles. No, really, we have a bike translator.
Okay, this is awkward, but this bike says he'd appreciate it if you removed his skull pattern saddlebags. He feels self-conscious about them around all the other bikes, and he says you're not fooling anyone. You mostly ride with your golfing buddies. Listen, I'm just the messenger here. Oh, no, I don't want to say that. I think you made yourself clear.
Quote with Progressive and see if you could save with America's number one motorcycle insurer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
They were either brought Leeds up already or waiting to bring Leeds up, but I didn't see Leeds. We were around a little bit.
I think they're probably around the corner. They shut us out, didn't they, towards the tube station.
But, yeah. They forced us all out of the station. Yeah. They wouldn't let us walk through into the concourse. We were all out of the station and had to disperse rather quickly. But...
I wonder if you're what I want. I do wonder what these people think. If you're on the train from Glasgow, you're going down to King's Cross, you're pulling at Peterborough, you're on your leisurely way home, you're thinking there's one more stop to London now, or two more stops, you've got Stevenage down to King's Cross, you're thinking the train's quite quiet, everything's quite cushy, you're contemplating going for a whiz or going to the bar and get a drink, and then suddenly you just got a swarm of Mill fans getting on the train.
I wonder
what these people think. Like, they're like,
Can you imagine, right? You're coming up towards Peterborough. And you go, right, all right, darling. Fancy a glass of wine? It's a bit thick. I can run up to the counter.
You just copied what I said, but made it differently, though, mate.
Can you imagine it, though? Where you get up, you walk to the bar, right? And all of a sudden, you get a drink, and you turn round, and it's fucking near on impossible to walk back to your seat.
Yeah. I've had it a few times, like, before, where, like, I've got on the train, and you've seen even someone like Paul Pogba on the train once when he was coming back from Oldham. Yeah. We went to Manchester Piccadilly. He was on the train. Fucking, we get off at the other end. He's made a complaint, and you got the police there looking to kind of have a go at a few of the people that were on the train. There's nothing wrong there. We're just having pictures of him. It's like, I weren't myself, but I know a few of the people that were doing it. It's like, they've done nothing wrong. But again, you know, people get offended easily, I suppose. But you got, imagine, like, you got a family day out, and then suddenly, like, a swarm of Millwall fans just surrounded by you. I don't know how to sum that feeling up. I can imagine it being quite a interesting experience, shall we say.
Especially when you find out they're Millwall, and I bet your fucking arse twitches. Because, you know, you're used to reading in the paper, you know. Oh, yeah. I mean, most of the people that met us, that was good. I mean, that girl, we're telling the other guys, get a bag out because she can't get there. Get a bag. And the bag was ready for when she got to the station. The bag was pulled out. She was giving it, you know, and the other ones and all that. And having jokes going, the easiest way to get through the crowd is just shout ticket inspector and watch everyone move. Do you know what I mean? And it was good. It was, it, you know, I mean, there was a couple of Peterborough guys next to us who'd been to Peterborough going back to London. You know, they're a bit strange, but hey ho, it is what it is. But we played shit. But the fact that we cancelled, that we cancelled for the COVID the next game just makes you wonder how many felt rough or how many this, that, and the other. You don't know, do you? But look,
they test either in the Championship. I know, like, obviously, in the
Premiership, does daily or weekly, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think with the Championship, I don't know how frequently they can catch it. Do they test on the morning of the day or day of the game, or do they test on a Tuesday and a Friday? And if so, maybe some of them had it on Saturday, like, you know, like you said there, and obviously then it's spread through the squad. Who knows? But I mean, if that's any excuse for them, we'll give them it just a little bit, but we'll gloss over Peterborough anyway. And
the only advantage is if our players did have it, hopefully they gave it to Peterborough, and then Peterborough fucking players are, you know, have been caught up with it. But no, the other, talking about football, two football topics as we're talking random shit today, rather than all about Millwall, because there ain't really a lot. There is a Millwall one we're questioning a bit, I suppose, but you just say, what's your views on the FA getting rid of third and fourth round replays? I think it's a travesty.
FA Cup.
Yeah, I think it's a travesty. For the smaller clubs, I think it's a travesty.
I would have loved to have had a draw against Palace and gone back to Selhurst Park. Don't get me wrong. Like, and I'm
You might have this year. Yeah. It comes in next year, so yeah.
Is it no, I'm sure you sure it's not this year that they're doing it?
No, 22-23 season.
Are you sure?
That's what the statement said, I swear.
I'm going to call your bluff a little bit. You can double check it whilst you're doing that. I'm pretty sure the reason for doing it this year, and it's only for this year, is purely just because of COVID. And it's instead of cancelling the Premier League fixtures in there, they said to the Premier League sides, right, we won't cancel your Premier League game, but we will give you the take away the possibility of a replay. I could be wrong.
No, you're right. It was, this is what's given them the caveat. It was basically the 2021 season was, last season was cancelled. This is the 2021-22 season.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Or is this the 2021 season?
This is 21-22 season.
Right. So replays to return for this season. And then next season they are to go. So yeah, as of,
I'm calling your bluff on this.
As of,
it's after this year, mate. This year they're going to be scrapped again. The second year in a row.
Is it?
Yes, mate. This year.
Oh, yeah. No, it is. Yeah. I see where it is. Yeah. No, they released the statements two fucking separate times. They released one this morning on the FA Cup.
The Premier League and the other clubs. To postpone the fixture over the festive period. However, instead, FA Cup replays will be removed from the next two rounds. There you go. So, you know, I think it's a shame. Don't get me wrong, but I do think it's a sensible decision for all clubs concerned. The only clubs that are really, really hurt by this are your League One, League Two, and I think we've got one conference I left in, Kidderminster. I might be mistaken. If Kidderminster get a draw, I don't know if they're at home or away even the first game, to be honest, but, you know, you're missing the chance for them to make a bit more money. That is the downside, where you're losing the glory of the FA Cup. But with that said, I think for most clubs, for taking away the financial, I think all clubs will like the idea of not having a replay, to be honest. Unless you're like I said, a conference side that can see the monetary gain from it. I don't think that's the only benefit you get from it, from the FA Cup replays. Obviously, for fans to watch as neutrals, it's great. But I don't think we're going to lose much in a footballing sense by taking away the replays this year, because it sounds sensible, to be honest, with all the COVID cases.
Yeah, and also last year, I suppose, they gave it that, you know, because it worked last year, they're doing it for this year, and then it goes properly, officially, not down to COVID, officially from next season.
What's a shame is, obviously, it used to be up to the quarterfinals you get replays. I'm pretty sure they scrapped them in the quarterfinals now. That doesn't happen at all. And obviously, if you remember for us, like, when we got to the 2013 FA Cup semi-final, we drew the first game against Blackburn at home, went up north, and Danny Shittu scores his header, and that's what we do comes from, and everyone's going mad about it. You kind of lose that, and I think it should stay at least to the quarterfinals. Semi-final, it's a neutral venue, know, Wembley, whatever. I think that's a crying shame because it should be still a neutral venue elsewhere away from the National Stadium for the semi-final. Yeah.
No, I totally agree with you. It should be neutral.
And I think you're losing that kind of feel because, like, you know, going out to Old Trafford that day was class, you know, and obviously then, obviously, you think about the other game, it was Arsenal United, that's at Villa Park, and that adds a kind of different vibe to it. You're thinking, like, that's a shame that we've lose with, because, you know, if you basically, especially if you're Millwall, 2013, semi-final was our final because we got to Wembley. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that's our day out. Whereas if you have a day out at a neutral venue, bigger ground still, and it's a bigger fair.
2013?
Yeah, when we got to the FA Cup semi-final, mate.
Sorry. Yeah.
But that was our final. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We lost the day, but then we're like, oh, we still had a day out at Wembley. Even though it was shit, the weather was terrible, and there was, you know, all sorts going on. But, you know, you lose that by getting to Wembley for the semi-final. I think you should really make it semi-final neutral venue elsewhere. Villa Parks, Old Trafford's, even the Emirates, anywhere. Do you know what I mean? But instead, you've got Wembley for the semi-final and the final.
Yeah, but they're having to put it at Wembley now. Yeah, they have to do it at Wembley for fucking everything.
Because they make the money out of it. That's what it's about. It's all about money. The FA gets more money from it probably by hosting it at their own stadium. They probably get a leasing right for it. They probably get to keep a lot of the ticket revenue because it's at their stadium instead of it going to paying for Aston Villa to host it or United to host it. It's all a money game in the day, isn't it, really?
No. I mean, the other thing was quite funny, which I don't know if you want to, we'll end this bit here and come back for a part two in a minute.
Or just round out with this topic, if you want. I mean, just kind of to cover
the round topic is it's been across social media. If you haven't seen it, then you will see it, no doubt, with over the next day or so, is there's an Oldham fan and he's got a letter today from, I know it's Oldham, but look, Oldham was a good club, and then it's just slowly had shit owners, and it's fucking slowly fallen down. And we got a lot of fans that live out that way, and fucking, do you know what I mean? They're anyway. He's got a letter today from Oldham. So the general manager at Oldham, Steve Brown, has sent a letter to this fella. So, dear Mr. Knowles, I took the role of general manager here at the club recently and have been asked by the board of directors to review actions of individuals that we feel are deliberately geared to harm and cause distress to the club, its fans and stakeholders. You have regularly displayed your desire to promote your dislike of Oldham Athletic Football Club, its management and its progression, and you are influencing others to do the same. You are taking deliberate steps to harm the club and cause distress. In the light of these circumstances, I am writing to inform you that you are officially banned from all first team and youth games at Boundary Park and at any other ground where either team are playing for a minimum period of 3 years. This is imposed with immediate effect and expires on the 17th of December, 2024. I look forward to this correspondence. I have forwarded this correspondence to Greater Manchester Police and our stadium safety officer for their records and action. Should you have any queries, please do not hesitate to contact the safety officer, the club safety officer, at the thingy. The letter's got, it's not even on official headed paper or anything else. A couple of points, which I will be going in more on the
just
other
to
show.
Confirm, he hasn't done anything apart from
social media.
Social media, talk about the club on social media. That's the only thing he's done.
And, yeah, that's the only thing he's done. But we're talking where they're talking as if he's an influencer, right? He's got 979 following him, and he's got 1,359, what's probably gone up today, followers. So he's not exactly a fucking, you know, big account, a big following base, and he's got influence. And I've spoken to him, and he's not said anything dodgy apart from he wants the board out, the manager, sell the club, fucking get someone proper in and all this. So it's just a normal fan. But there's a few things on there that get me. Clubs can't ban you from away games. They will want to, and they will try their hardest to, but they have no jurisdiction over away games. So, for instance, if they're selling tickets to an away game, and I'll come back to it with Millwall. Well, actually, yeah, I'll come back to it with Millwall. I'll use Millwall as an example. Millwall offer season ticket membership only. So if they ban you, you won't have access to be a season ticket and you won't be access to a member. So if you gain a ticket, you'll be gaining the ticket under fraud pretenses, under, you know, other pretenses rather than you being able to buy a ticket. And Millwall will tell all the clubs every year, we operate a membership-only system, season tickets members, please don't sell pay in a day because this is what we operate. And if they do, it's again, it's that let-off in case anything ever happens that Millwall said, well, we told you what to do, you went against it. So in the league where Oldham is, most clubs will probably do pay in a day. So they won't have any jurisdiction that if he goes and buys a ticket and goes to the game, there's fuck all they can do about it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're going, oh, we told Greater Manchester Police. Well, Greater Manchester Police, no disrespect, you can go fuck yourself too. You ain't got no jurisdiction to be able to do anything. If you catch him in the other ground, yeah, you can kick him out. But it's a civil offence. It's not, do you know what I mean? It's not a criminal offence. It's a civil offence because clubs operate like pubs and clubs. You know, me and you go there today, we're wearing white trainers. If, you know, whoever it is who's running the football club, you know, whatever club we go to, if they don't like the look of our trainers, they say, sorry, gents, can't come in today, you're getting out. You know, it's not like, you know, if you're drinking in the stadium or doing something massive, then, yeah, they can nick you for that, but there's nothing they can do. Yet, this guy is, oh, well, I'm banning you for it. You can stop selling me tickets, but you can't ban me from going. If I can buy a ticket from, I don't know who, Stockport United, I don't know if they're in the same league as Oldham, but for instance, another team in Oldham, if I go buy a ticket from them for the ground game, then I'm not banned from their ground. I'm only banned from buying tickets from Oldham. So this happens an awful lot. You know, when you get banned, you'll get told you can't go away game. Slightly different with Millwall, you know, and some other clubs, Leeds and some others, where they control the selling of their tickets quite heavily. But Oldham, I can't see doing it. Oldham don't, you know, have a membership scheme or anything else. So, I mean, you know, but the trouble is, if this geezer had a voice before you banned him, what you've done is you've suddenly echoed his voice. You've just basically given him a fucking megaphone on the busiest town centre on the busiest Saturday ever in the world. Because what you've done is you suddenly shone a big fucking light on this geezer who was probably only speaking within Oldham community. And no one outside of that football fan base really knew who this fella is. I've had conversations with him today. The show I do with Amanda Faircop, we're probably getting him on there to explain his story. And we'll go into it in a lot more details and analyse it and all that. But it's just fucking madness.
Numbers, yeah. Completely.
Clubs are now looking to ban you for social media. Then fuck me, we're fucked.
I know you're on about, mate. We're never negative about Millwall.
Not negative. We offer constructive criticism, I think. Yeah.
I think we've all got an opinion. That's the best thing about football. And I think, okay, if I don't know this chap, if he's you know, going for the club and gunning for the owners, if he's doing it in a way that there's not any insulting and there's no personal attacks, I don't see any issue with it. Let that carry on. Like, he's allowed his free right of opinion, and I think for a club to ban him for 3 years just sounds completely bonkers. But I guess that's the sign of the times, mate, everyone cares about what everyone says on social media now and everyone's worried about all their reputation. And yeah, like you said, in their case there, they've just made things a billion times worse.
How bad PR-wise? Because, I mean, not being funny, if one of me or you got banned and it weren't for a good reason, then we would fucking be screaming and shouting about it. And we'd fight.
Of course.
But we'd fight it publicly. And that's all he's going to do. He's going to find himself a lawyer who's going to represent him and fight him and go, actually, you can't. Because they actually say in the letter, we've passed your information. We're going to pass your information. And there's a follow-on letter where this Steve Brown has obviously just fired off an email without talking to anyone. Fired off an email and said, we've given all the relevant information to Greater Manchester Police and we're going to email all the away clubs we're going to be playing, giving them your information and telling them that you're on the banned supporters list. Well, that's GDPR instantly.
Yeah,
you're
in breach of
GDPR because on their terms and conditions, they say unless it's law that they have to do it by under law, they won't pass on your details. Yet, all of a sudden, they're now sharing your details with every club in the country they're potentially going to play. And it goes, I hope Bradley gets a lawyer. I hope he gets someone who's, you know, higher, you know, understands GDPR and everything else, and sticks it to the club and just says, let's have it. Do you know what I mean? I think it'll be one of those, mate. And hopefully that, you know, we've got to start, you know, fighting back to a degree because we get treated like fucking mumpties. But yeah, I think we've put the world to rights. You've got Willow on your lap now.
Yeah, a little bit of a ramble from us today. And it's, I think she's panting a little bit. So I probably need to get her something to drink, to be honest. So such is life.
Double vodka for Willow.
Gin and tonic, no ice. You know what I mean?
If you're asking about Kai, some of you have. Kai's still here. He's not gone anywhere. It's just that he's now making a real man of himself and working for a living. So unfortunately, correct, some of the times we try to do stuff, he's gaining all his overtime and busting the move. We're not going to tell you where he works. That's up to him. But he seems to be enjoying it. He seems to be, you know, loving it. It's fulfilling all his greatest wants and pleasures, I suppose, of being able to write football stuff and that. So good luck to him. But we hope to do another show this week for the Christmas period, for, you know, over Christmas as such. And he should be back for that. So don't panic. He will be back. We haven't got rid of him.
Yeah. I think we call it there, mate, to be honest.
I think we're all done.
We're back on hopefully Thursday. We're going to do a show Wednesday, aren't we? We're going to hopefully be back for Thursday and preview, hopefully, Boxing Day fixture against Swansea. And we'll talk a bit more about Millwall. Obviously, you know, we're sitting 11th in the table. Content for now, but
well,
you know,
I mean, I've done a video for TikTok the other day with around Christmas 88, and they went on a 12 match run and then obviously finished top of the table. They were sixth in the league and then went on an unbeaten run, and also teams around them fucked up. So there's a strong possibility that, you know what, it could happen again. Willow has told us we need to fuck off. We need to get a life and get her a drink. So, look, thanks very much for tuning in. We are across social media. It's one easy name to remember. It's at Millwall Pod. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, anywhere else you want to do. If you want to get in touch with the show, it's info@millwallpodcast.co.uk. We get out a couple of shows a week. And please make sure you can subscribe, because you can now like the podcast on Spotify if that's your means. And Apple Podcasts would be great. And please get subscribing to YouTube. And let's see if we can get to 1,000 subscribers. Not far off it. We're not far off it, but let's get to 500 even for now. Over Christmas, that'd be great. It's about another 50. So, yeah, thanks very much. Thanks, Omar, for joining me.
Cheers, Mickey, mate. Speak to you guys soon.
Speak to you later. Adios.
Clock out of the hospital at 6 p.m., I'm not done for the night. That's when Gamer Nurse 40 clocks in, and she's got orcs to slay. Sure, I'm playing a 13-year-old in Scranton, but he's a level 53 mage with a filthy mouth, so I need to stay on top of my game. What'd you call me? That's when I crack open a Heineken 00. Zero alcohol, but just as refreshing. So I can focus on stealing his gold before his mom tells him it's bedtime. Take that, kids.
Heineken 00. 0.0% alcohol. Now you can. Must be 21 plus to purchase. Enjoy responsibly.
Here's the lowdown on lowering bad cholesterol from Leqvio. Lowering bad cholesterol is hard, but you could do hard. You live through 5 fad diets, 11 sleep training nights, 9 mediocre middle school recitals, 1 heart attack. And with Leqvio, you can lower your bad cholesterol and keep it low with 2 doses a year after 2 starter doses. Prescription Leqvio and glycerin is given by a doctor for people with known heart disease on a statin with diet who need more help lowering bad cholesterol. Common side effects were injection site reaction, joint pain, urinary tract infection, diarrhea, chest cold, pain in legs or arms, and shortness of breath. Results may vary. Learn more at Lecvio.com or call 1-833-537-8462. Ask your doctor about Lecvio. That's L-E-Q-V-I-O. Lower, longer, Lecvio.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.